Welcome to Follow Your Kind podcast, a show where we explore the meaning of kindness and how we can express it in our daily lives. My name is Christina and I'm your host. Well, hello everyone, and today I am in Sevananda interviewing beautiful Ifeanyi. Is that how you pronounce your name?
Yes, that's Ifeanyi. Correct. Mm-hmm. Ifeanyi.
Ifeanyi, that's yes. Right. That's a beautiful name, by the way.
Thank you.
And I met you at the Plant Pure Nation event that we attended together a few weeks ago, and I remember how passionately you were speaking just about the movement, the plant-based movement in general, the difference it can make in people's lives on all different levels, and of course for our planet. And I just really like your message, so I'm excited that you agreed to be interviewed by me.
Well, thank you. It's nice to, you know, get the message received.
Good.
So graciously. Thank you, Christina.
Good. I'm very happy. And we'll just start with maybe you can give us a little bit of a brief bio of yourself and where you come from and how you got to be where you are today.
Okay. Well, where shall I start? I'll start at the beginning.
Sure, the microphone.
I was born in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. So that gave me a very international outlook and a very multicultural outlook from childhood. Like, we would go to the festivals, we would go to the museums, and you know, all the activities in Washington, D.C. And it's a very political town, so I grew to be very conscious. Mm-hmm. Now, my father was from Atlanta, so as a teenager, I moved to Atlanta. So I was here for my whole teenage years, and then I moved back to D.C., and then I learned about Rastafari and Bob Marley, and it was at a time when he was very new on the scene, because this was in the 70s, and it changed my life. So music does have such a great impact on culture and people's way of thinking. So Bob,
did you see my last name, by the way? It's not there. It's Rastroguiva.
Really? How
so
ironic.
I just thought it was funny, right?
Yeah. So do you know about the Rastafarian movement?
I actually met just a few people who were from Rastafari movement. One of the girls, she's a chef, and I met her at one of the events. I think she works for, or maybe she cooks for, a cooker delivery guys. And she told me just a little bit, just briefly, about the religion. I thought it was beautiful, but I don't know much details.
Well, it basically changed my life, that music, and it made me even grow more conscious. I mean, I was already like politically aware and conscious as a teenager. And of course, we were going through a lot of turbulent times in the 60s and 70s with civil rights movement. And, you know, it just made me grow, though, as a person, out of just the normal way of eating, because they have what they call ITAL eating, I-T-A-L, which means natural eating. And
does
eating,
it stand for something?
Mm-hmm, ITAL is natural. Like, instead of saying natural, they say ITAL.
Huh.
So it's like word sound power. So instead of saying mango, they would say mancom, you know, or ITAL is vital. So it's just like my name, Ifeanyi, came from Rastas. My other name is Stephanie. So they did a word sound power. No man no step on the eye, and you step in honey. And this was in Jamaica in 79, and we were at Sunsplash, and Bob Marley was performing. And so they did that word sound power on my name and took it from Stephanie, and they looked up to the sky and said, how about infinite for I and I and Ifeanyi? And I said, ooh, wow.
I love that.
So it kind of changed my life.
I wonder what my name would be.
Yeah. Well, you have a good name, because your name, like, is the word sound power on your name is like crystal. Mm-hmm. You know, crystals are, you know, manifesting energy. So, yeah. Huh. But so I learned about eating healthy. So they were a lot of them were vegetarian or vegans, and some of them, of course, are pescatarians because they like to eat fish, but theirs is a whole natural fishing, not the kind of farm fish like what people are eating now and the fake fish, you know, mm-hmm. that's being manufactured. But, you know, theirs comes straight from the ocean. But still, at that time, that was just a new way of thinking for me, to be totally natural. No dyes, no preservatives, cooking food from the ground, from the source, and then learning about the culture of the people. So, like I said, that music basically changed my life. And then I married a Jamaican and lived in Jamaica for a while, like up in the hills, no electricity, no running water. So it made me very conscious about about the environment. Oh, excuse me.
Are you good? Just keep talking.
About it made me very aware of the environment, because when I was down there, what I noticed was that we were farmers up in the hills, and you pick the food and cook it. There was a pepper plant by the fire, you know, to put in the pot. You would, you know, get your ground provisions, which are like yams or, you know, different, or he's growing okra. You pick it, you eat it, you know, no processed food. Not a lot of supermarkets, like they're very far and in between. Not a lot of gas stations, mm-hmm. they were very far and in between. So when I came back to America, I said, oh my God, I felt overwhelmed. I went to the supermarket, it's like shelves and shelves of the same stuff.
How long did you spend in Jamaica?
Well, the longest I spent, I mean, it was for years I was going back and forth. Mm-hmm. The longest I spent where I had this first shell shock of coming back to America and seeing all the paved highways and the too much, 4 gas stations on every corner, grocery stores right across from each other. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, God, no wonder the rest of the world doesn't have enough, because this place has too much. You know, it's like too much.
Yeah.
And I really could see it clearly. So, like I said, that whole lifestyle just changed my perspective of what's necessary, mm-hmm. you know, and what's real and what's valuable. And like when the lights, you know, there was no electricity. So at night we had like the lanterns, or just quiet, mm-hmm. you know, or talking or stories, no TV. Like I don't even have a TV now. I don't have a television.
I don't have a TV either, but I remember some of my like coolest memories from my childhood. My grandmother had this summer cottage, dacha we call it, in Ukraine, mm-hmm. and it was an hour away from the main city, and we didn't have electricity for a while too, which we got it later, but the water was, they had to bring water in the car, so like you had to be very cautious of resources as well.
Yes.
And I remember gathering together with family members and neighbors in the evening, and we used to light up candles and sing Ukrainian folk songs or Russian mm-hmm. folk songs, and it's like just a memory of that. How beautiful is that? People
exactly.
Don't do that anymore.
No, well, not some people. Some people still live like that, but the masses of people are getting brainwashed and programmed with all the junk, and then they wonder why everybody's so crazy. Well, look at what they're doing. Look at the video games. They're shooting each other. So why wouldn't they go out and feel, you know, mm-hmm. I can shoot people because I just learned how to shoot all those other people on the video games and the songs and the music. And so anyway, but that just changed my life. So from there, when I came back to America, I just had a different way of looking at things. I became vegetarian. I was still eating cheese. That was my last holdout, but now there's so many good alternatives.
What's your favorite kind of cheese?
Oh, just any of it. The cream cheese. I love cream cheese. And we used to make, my grandmother would make cream cheese macaroni. And then, and I like just the cheddar cheese and just any cheese. I just was a cheese lover. And but now I found some alternatives, so. But I also lived in California, and as you know, maybe you don't, I don't know, have you been to California?
I haven't. The furthest west I've been, well, I've been in Washington State, but I've also been in New Mexico, but I have not been in California.
Okay, you got to go to California. They're so avant-garde. Yeah, they're just so ahead of the curve, you know. So I had moved out there, And I was living with a sister friend of mine who was a serious, strict Rasta, and she taught me and helped me learn how to cook. Plus, when I was in Jamaica, my second husband was a farmer, and the one I was saying where we lived up in the hills, mm-hmm. and he taught me how to cook. So, and then my first husband, I've had two Jamaican husbands. My first Jamaican husband, he was a musician, so he knew Bob Marley, he knew Peter Tosh, he was the opening
knew, like,
act.
In person?
Oh yeah, he was from Jamaica. So, I mean, they've actually been to our house, Third World, and
wow.
he was their opening act when they would come to D.C., and he could cook. Oh my God, they really, Third World wanted him to go on tour with them as the cook. He's like, no, I do music.
You can know. You do both?
No, right? But he was an amazing chef.
And we're back. We had a little water accident here, but all is well so far. Let's hope my computer keeps working.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it's going to be fine. Look, it's perfect. Yay.
Good energy here, so it should cure everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're back on track, and you are now back in the United States.
Right. So
you spent some time in California, and then mm-hmm. how did you find Sivananda?
Well, when I lived in Atlanta, like, I've been back and forth, up and down, all around. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd get kind of bored here and move to Cali because my mother and sister are out there. So then I'd come back and forth. So I already knew about Sivananda and had shopped here from, like, maybe the 80s and the 90s, like, back and forth, like I said.
When did this open?
1974.
Wow.
Yeah, so it opened as a vegan vegetarian market. Like-minded people came together. They were Sikhs, you know, the Sikhs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's who really started it. Started over at Emory. Yeah,
really?
As a little co-op with a cigar box, and people come in and working owners or working members, you know, and it grew. So then they changed the location to right down the street where Bond Community Credit Union is, Bond on Moreland Avenue. That's where they located from Emory mm-hmm. to there. Then they grew some more, so they moved down to Euclid Avenue where Ragarama now is. So it's a big kind of thrift store vintage shop. Mm-hmm. And
you've shopped there from the very beginning?
Yeah, well, not from the beginning, but from when it was on Euclid.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say from the 80s and the 90s, I was a shopper. And because, like I said, my liberty had changed. So I liked what Sivananda offered.
Your levity has changed. I love that expression.
Yes. That's what we call it, liberty. Instead of saying diet, we say live it. Like, those are the same, yeah. Like I said, the word sound power. You don't want to die, you know, so you say
diet.
Live it.
I've never thought about it.
Yeah.
Liberty,
it's
diet,
a lot of
liberty.
Words in English that are kind of negative. Like how people always say, I'm sorry. You are saying, I am sorry. No, you can say, I apologize for something, or I didn't mean to do something, but to say, I am sorry, you're saying you're sorry. You know, sorry
uh-huh.
is like less
than. So what do you
than.
Say?
Well, if I do something wrong, I would say I apologize
mm-hmm.
for whatever.
Give me
know.
Some more. Give me another word.
Golly, I don't know. Maybe as we're talking, I could think of some others. I mean, it's a bunch of them. I mean, you know. But anyway. So I had shopped at Sivananda, and when I came back from California about almost 8 years ago, matter of fact, my anniversary is coming up, March 24th.
All right.
It'll be 8 years
here. Be a big party?
Yeah. No, I'm going to have a big party for my retirement next year. But so when I came back, of course, I was job hunting. I can only work places that I feel passionate about. I've already worked places that I didn't feel passionate, mm-hmm. and I would walk home crying, saying, I don't like being there. So, because I used to be like a legal secretary and work for law firms out in California, and some of the law firms, what they were doing, I was like, I don't want to be here. I would literally walk home crying. And so I had to change my liberty to where I want to be. I used to work for WRFG Radio. Are you familiar with them?
WRFG, no, I'm not.
Okay, it's Radio Free Georgia, 89.3 FM. Very diverse. It's a community station. They're a nonprofit. So get hip to them because WRFG is the bomb, 89.3. So you could go to WRFG.org.
Okay.
And listen or look at their program. They have all kinds of everything from blues to bluegrass, reggae, African music, hip hop, jazz, public affairs. So it's a very alternative rebel station.
I love that.
Yeah, so I used to work for them. I was their promotions manager there for a few years. And then, like I said, I left again to California and South Carolina.
You've been moving a lot. South Carolina. Yeah. We're in South Carolina.
A little rural area about an hour outside of Charleston.
All right. Well, I lived in Myrtle Beach.
Oh, okay.
And then I lived in Charleston, South Carolina as well.
Okay. Well, then you know where Monk's Corner is?
I do.
Or Somerville. Out
I do.
Cross.
Yes, absolutely.
I lived in Cross.
Wow.
What a small world. Gee,
it truly is.
Well, yeah, so I lived up there for a while, but then moved back out to Cali. So when I came back here to Atlanta, I was job hunting, and a job as a cashier came open, and I said, I'll take anything because I just, you know, I have children. I need to pay my rent.
And were you passionate about Sivananda at that time already? You kind of knew what they stood for, and that's why?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. So like I said, I couldn't work at Whole Food or Kroger or Publix because they sell meat. Mm-hmm. And as a cashier, I don't want to handle it. I don't even want to smell it. Like sometimes I go in those stores, I feel sick to my stomach, honestly. I'm very sensitive to smells now. And the smell of the meat cooking and all that. I was like, I can't work here. So anyway, Sivananda.
And I'm just curious, can you tell me more? So you know how different people come to plant-based eating or vegan vegetarian diet from different perspectives, right? Some come to it from the health concerns. Some think about environment and ethical. Some think about animals. What was your what was that for you? Was that a combination of things? Do you need to answer that? Was that a combination of things, or like what on which level did you connect the most? What was your decision based on? I know Rastamarian religion, but
right. Well, I think my decision was based on health, first of all, the health and welfare of myself and my family. That was my first concern. Secondly, then I became aware of the impact on the environment. And recently, I'm really aware, like I saw that movie Cowspiracy. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with that movie, where it showed how the animal husbandry industry has more to do with polluting the planet than even cars. And the waste. And then also the compassion for the animals.
Yeah.
That's what moves me now. I'm like, all that angst and anxiety and stress that they're feeling as they're going to the slaughterhouse, how they're treated, that's going into the meat, which is going into the people.
Right. But I'm also getting the sense that for you, it's a lot more on the energetic level there as well, right? Because I don't know if a lot of people think about it. I think I feel it a lot more now, but before I didn't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought about it more on the level of like chemicals or what it does in our body, more like in a lot more like physics, chemics, like more scientific perspective rather than thinking about like energy in general.
Right. Well, I found that when I ate naturally, like I was saying, living in Jamaica and going from the plant to the pot,
right,
there was a whole different energy in the food and how I felt. And I felt strong. And like, and I watch how Jamaicans move. They're very strong people.
You're wanted.
They're very strong people. they could carry, the children could carry big buckets of water on their head, you know, and I'm struggling trying to carry my like that, you know, and they could run down the mountain barefoot and do all kinds of things. So I said, okay, there's something to this food. It's something extra special about eating healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, I could tell the difference. I had gained weight after I had children. I couldn't get it off because I was a starchitarian for a while. When I said a vegetarian, really starchitarian.
Okay.
Starch. Mm-hmm. You're eating starch. Not, it's plant-based, but it's starch. Mm-hmm. Which is, that's why when you see a lot of fat vegetarians, you're like, why are you heavy? Well, it's because you're eating starch, you know? Instead of eating an apple, you're eating an apple pie, you know,
or yeah, that,
or pasta, or the processed food. Mm-hmm. So, so I decided that doing like physical activities like yoga and eating healthy, doing meditation, really alleviated a lot of stress out of my life. Mm-hmm. Made me a more peaceful person, more compassionate person, more conscious. So, yeah, it was very important. Your liberty, your live it, not your diet, your live it is important. So just having that compassion and wanting to feel good and aging well, you know, because I'm 65. I'll be 65 this year.
You are?
Yes.
No way.
Mm-hmm. That's why I said I'm about to retire. This is it for this portion. I mean, you know, I still have things I want to do.
Yeah, I do not see you just sitting at home. I'm sure you'll be active all around the place.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's just going to get more. I have to be careful.
Right.
Because as you see, you know.
People are calling her.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm very involved with the community. That is my title. Matter of fact, I used to be the assistant in the marketing / member service department, but this year when Aja Simons became the general manager, she created this whole new title for me, which is community relations / education liaison.
My job description is liaison as well.
What?
Yes.
See, we got so
I'm an outreach liaison. I know. That's perfect.
Yes. So you get it.
Right.
That liaison is
right.
Like that connection.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot of networking, like when I was doing the outreach where we met.
Your nation, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's my passion, to really, you know, help people make better choices. Like, you know, I try not to be the vegan police, though some people may consider me the vegan police.
I read that in your bio. Yes, the people call you vegan police. I love that. I
especially
kind of feel like
here.
People perceive me that way as well, especially mm-hmm. with my work. I always, people see me eat like just leaves of kale, and then they would be eating, I don't know, like this, one of my coworkers, she was eating a piece of pizza today, and she's like, I know you're looking at me. I don't have time for kale right now, but I just like, I'm not judging you. You can eat whatever you want. But people feel obligated
right.
to eat healthy next to me.
I know. See, I go through the same thing here, you know, and everywhere, but I try not to just, be a snob.
Right.
You know, they say, you're a food snob. You're a vegan snob. I say, yeah, I'm just trying to help you.
As long as you're nice about it. I mean, people need some accountability.
Right. And I say, well, when you know better, you can do better.
Right.
So, but when you know better and don't want to do better, then that's on you, not me.
Yeah.
That's not, you know, that's on you.
Okay, so I'm really excited to talk about, let's give us just a little bit more info about Sivananda, kind of what it stands for, what and the name and the principles, and then I do want to get to our conscious grocery shopping and the budget, because I think that's going to be very, very helpful for the listeners.
Okay.
So for Sivananda, does the name mean anything?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Like I said, the Sikhs started it.
Okay.
So that's Sanskrit, Sivananda. It's really Siva Nanda. Siva is service. Nanda is bliss or joy. So it's
okay.
The joy, the bliss of service.
I love that.
The name stands for.
I love that. So I go to the meditation center. It's Siddha Yoga Meditation Center. And I volunteer. Actually, I was supposed to be there tonight, but I think I'm going to be running late. But I usually bring cookies or some kind of baking for them at the beginning of the month. And they call it seva. Seva
right.
as well. So service.
Right. So that's what this That's what this stands for. And then being a co-op, we have certain standards and principles that's different from being a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
So as you can see, it's a culture of service, knowledgeable members, a network of local viable services, an environment that's sustainable and nourishing, local, regional, global connectedness, relationships which are fair, inclusive, interactive, and empowering, and an economy that is thriving and self-reliant, mutually beneficial, not like corporations that only think about their own bottom line.
Right.
So here, a co-op means you can become an owner. Anyone can become an owner. We have people from millionaires, literally, to street people, literally. There's a guy that comes in here, he's a member owner. He can't has his buggy. I don't know where he lives, but he looks like he's living, you know. But he liked the co-op. He likes the feeling. So he bought a share.
I love
it. And then we seriously have some millionaires and some celebrity types that come in here as well.
He did. And he's probably right there in the corner telling everybody that he owns Sivananda.
Right. And he does. He does. I mean, people can have a voice in what goes on at the store through their vote. They can get as involved as they like. Mm-hmm. Like they can get on the board. They can get on our linkage committees or outreach committees. Come do outreach with Iphany, yay. all kinds of things. And then we have certain principles and standards that we adhere to as a co-op. Like as you look around the room, you see, those are the Indinkra symbols. Those are African Ashanti
kind of
symbols. Indinkra.
Indinkra?
Uh-huh. Indinkra. From Ghana. Oh,
just
from Ghana.
Don't cover up the mic.
That's from Ghana. So we put these principles around the room.
I love that.
And then over here, these are the principles of a co-op. The first principle is voluntary and open membership, democratic member control, member economic participation, autonomy and independence, education, training, and information. That's where I come in.
Mm-hmm.
Cooperation among cooperatives and concern for the community. So those are actually the principles of a co-op.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a favorite principle? Is it education and training because you're the one representing
No, my favorite is concern for the community.
I love it too.
Because I think that's what ties the education and the training into the community, that knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
And so, therefore, that's my favorite, yeah, the concern. And then because we are vegan, vegetarian. It's only 3 in the country that are totally vegan, vegetarian. That's what I was told.
And 3 of what in the country?
3 totally vegan, vegetarian. Like no meat, sell no meat grocery stores.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wait, in the country?
3 in America.
There's got to be more.
No, there's 2 on the West Coast and us. Everybody else sells some kind of meat, something.
Wow,
yeah.
I did not think. Well, I guess the restaurants wouldn't count. So just
grocery stores,
right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, you can look that up. Now, there might be more now because I think as people are getting more conscious, somebody told me there's now another one, but I need to do the research. But I always say there was 3 because that's what I was told.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a few years ago. But yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah,
that
most
makes
people
sense
sell
now,
meat.
Yeah, because now I'm thinking about other stores that kind of are similar, but you're right, they sell meat.
Yeah.
And even though they have a lot of vegetarian and vegan options, but
right.
they still sell meat. That's interesting.
Yeah, and I know one is in, I know it's called the People's Co-op. It's in California in Oceanside, and I went out there to visit. It's beautiful. They got a view of the ocean. If I was 20 years younger, I'd go out there and get a job.
Well, you don't know. You're going to retire soon. You're going to have all the time you want.
I know. But no, I'm not going to be working at the store. No. I got myself off the back burner. I got stuff to do for me.
Right.
But, so we're a very unique, iconic marketplace here.
I love it.
And that's what I do believe saved us, because a few years ago, we were having such difficulties financial. They almost shut Seven Onda down.
Mm-hmm.
Not they, but economically, it was
mm-hmm.
almost closing because it was losing money, losing customers, lots of products not on the shelf, like, you know. And it was really getting ugly. And the reason was because of the competition now with Whole Foods and Trader Joe's. And look, even Kroger is going organic. And like I used to say, I don't see a problem with that. What mm-hmm. we need to do is step up our game.
Right.
So that who wants to come to Seven Onda for that special attention, for the fact that we have high standards, like no dyes, no additives.
Mm-hmm.
We try to be as non-GMO as possible, as organic as possible, and it's always been that way. Like, we never changed. They're catching up, right? But because, like, they're bigger outlets, of course, some of their prices are less.
Right.
So people see it and say, oh, well, why should I give y'all an extra dollar or $2 or whatever? You know, they rather shop there and get more for their money.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now we are getting more competitive. Like, we're in a whole network of co-ops. That's how we do our shopping.
Okay.
And get the prices right and have the sale items. So we were talking about shopping
yeah.
on a budget, you know, looking for the yellow tags, looking for the sales and the specials, and being able to keep our prices competitive.
Mm-hmm.
So along with the special service, like when you come in, it's like a family, it's like a community. We get to know our member owners, we get to know people that shop here. Some people come in here, seriously, it's a lot of people that come in here every day.
I love that.
Every day.
But it's so true, because when I walked in, I felt very welcomed. And I know you told me to come up to the customer desk, and I came up and talked to the girl up there, and she was very nice. And then I was wandering around while I was waiting for you. I was just walking around the store, and I came up to the soup station, and Kate. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
She talked to me, and she saw my Emory tag, and she started telling me about her daughter being school. It's just like a nice, human, personal, real conversation.
Yeah.
You know, not the yeah. superficial, hi-bye
right.
stuff, but I just felt very, very welcomed, and that energy felt very cool.
That's what we strive for, mm-hmm. and I think that's the difference. And then, you know, we have the largest selection of bulk herbs in the Southeast, so that our wellness department, like, we have health and beauty products that are local, a lot of local people. That's another thing. Too. A lot of local vendors are in the store, grocery, as well as the wellness department.
Mm-hmm.
But like in that department, there's no sulfates, no parabens, you know, no extra dyes or colorings. And it's even makeup over there and
mm-hmm.
nail polish that doesn't have formaldehyde and different things in it. And it's just a very specialized kind of place where you can feel pretty good about shopping here.
And you don't have to be scared about picking up the products
right.
that haven't some
no
kind of
high
chemicals.
Fructose corn syrup,
right.
which is deadly. And when you go to the regular stores, it's in everything. It's in so much. And once you start reading ingredients, like, if I can't pronounce it, I'm not going to want it. If all the chemicals and the dyes and the stuff that's in the food,
mm-hmm.
it's like, we don't have it here.
Right.
So we already start at a higher level. I still say read the ingredients because, you know, you might be allergic to something or
mm-hmm.
something you may not like. Some people don't want to do soy anymore. Some people don't want to do nutritional yeast. Some people don't want hybrid food or hybrid plants. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's all kinds of really specialized liberties. But they can shop here because they'll find what they need. Like
right.
we have a lot of people who like follow Dr. Sabi, for example.
Who's Dr. Sabi?
Well, he was a famous, a well-known, I should say, herbalist. And you have to look him up, S-E-B-E, Dr. Sabi. And he had a very specialized livet for African people, African people of the diaspora, he felt like we shouldn't be eating hybrid food. Like he wanted what they call indigenous food, mm-hmm. and electric food. They call it electric because it charges your cells. And yeah, he also worked with Michael Jackson one time too, when Michael was having problems. But
I'm sorry, Michael Jackson?
Yeah, the Michael Jackson. Yeah, Dr. Sabin, he's well known. But he's very radical. I mean, very like, you know, like I said, extreme strict. About very strict. He passed, though. He transcended maybe a year or two ago. But you can still look him up and get to know.
That's interesting. I will definitely look him up.
Yeah, but so people on very strict livets or diets can come here. We have a lot of gluten-free. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a very special place. I love it. I love it so much. That's why I'm here. I clock out and I'm still here all the time. I do my outreach. People coming up to me, text me all the time. Ifani.
The phone is on fire.
I know.
Okay.
But I love
so, it. So I love, got it. Love Sivananda. Now let's get to my topic I'm so looking forward to about conscious grocery shopping on the budget. So some of the things that I have a lot of people in my immediate surrounding who are not vegan or not vegetarian, and they're very curious and they're very open to eating healthy, but I hear a lot of concerns being, well, it's expensive or it's complicated. But I know that you said you have three children, your mother of three.
Right.
So I'm sure that shopping on the budget, on top of having healthy, electric, livid foods on your table, is very important to you. So give us some tips on what's how to get the best health for your money on a plant-based diet.
Okay, sure. Well, where shall I begin? Let's see. Raising three children, basically as a single mom, I had to be very careful, especially because from my 20s, I learned about Rastafari and that whole liberty of natural food eating. So the most important thing is to cook your own food. Mm-hmm. Packaged food costs much more than regular, just natural food that you have to cook.
So cook your own food.
Cook your own food. And then the other suggestion is to buy in bulk.
Okay.
Like you just saw our bulk department. Mm-hmm. So you can bring your own containers and get them weighed. And I used to do that, and I still do that. That's how I do the zero waste and the recycling. And it's just a way of life. It's nothing special. It's just the way I am. I'm always looking at, sometimes if something, a bottle is at the top of the trash, I don't dig in the trash. But if it's sitting there at the top, a bottle or a can, I would take it out and put it in the recycle. You know?
Yeah.
So things like that. But
I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you, but maybe I can frame it to make it easier for you and to more useful for the people who I hope will be listening to this. Mm-hmm. So let's take somebody who is not very familiar, right? So zero waste sounds good to me. I'd love to bring my own containers, but I don't know if everybody else is on the same level yet.
Right.
So let's say they're just starting and they're clueless. They came from, you know, buying burgers or some fast food or frozen pizza to now trying to be plant-based and eat healthy and be on the budget, not to spend tons of money. So let's give some tips. So we have cook your own food, shop in bulk.
Look for items that are on sale and stock up. Like even if you have to freeze something, you know, like say you see some strawberries in strawberry season on sale. Well, you can freeze them. Then you can use them later in smoothies or other things. So, or if you see things on sale, so look for your sales, your coupons, and then you buy enough to have for later. Also do meal planning.
Right.
Like really plan your meals and then use your leftovers for the next meal, you know, instead of throwing them away.
Give us an example of that.
Okay. Say one day you want to have curry tofu and rice.
Okay.
Okay. And vegetables, stir-fried vegetables.
Okay.
So you eat, your family eats that. Then the next day, make a soup out of what's left over. Like I'll use a vegetable broth, and then I could put that rice in there, the curry tofu and the vegetables, and turn it into a soup, and maybe cook some cornbread or something, or have some bread and toast it. So things like that.
You're making me hungry.
Yeah, you're stretching it, you know, so whatever you have that my children would say, Mommy, there's nothing here to eat, there's no food. And I'd go in and cook them a meal. They say, how did you do that? I said, the leftovers.
So get creative.
You get creative, you know, and the internet is full of recipes. I mean, you could just Google everything and it's right there. You could just say vegan soups and then whatever, say you have a squash and you cut it up and you make it, and then the next day you turn it into a soup or something, you know. So make the tofu into sandwiches or your food or whatever, you know. So different things like that, but you're actually meal planning. So one day you may have it in one manner. I'm a specialty in soups. Like my son was like, Mom, you need to do a soup kitchen, because that's what I like to do. I like to take the food and turn it into a soup or a stew or a casserole, you know, so then it goes further. So with three hungry children, I could feed them like that.
What were some of your savers for you for like either on the go or for feeding three hungry mouths? So you said soups, right? What?
Oh, yeah.
Some other quick fixes, quick
the
meals.
The casseroles. You know, like
what's
those,
your favorite casserole?
Those one... The one pot dishes, like I love pasta. Oh my God. So I could do like pasta one day, but then the next day it's in the soup, what's left, you know? And then I would always have vegetable broth on like in my pantry.
Okay.
So the vegetable broth, and then you turn it into the soup, the coconut milk, you know, you can add that for the flavor and the ginger, and you put your seasoning in.
What are some of your favorite spices?
Oh,
do you like curries?
I love curry, but I like, my favorite is that Jamaican curry. It's a Jamaican curry. That's so good.
I need to try that.
I love it. Yeah, that one, I think it's Blue Mountain is the brand. That's my favorite. Mm-hmm. But we sell a lot of different curries here, like in the bulk area.
Mm-hmm.
So people can come here and get their spices and their different curries and different spices. I like cilantro.
Cilantro is so good for you too. Yes. Is that considered an electric food?
Yes.
What other foods are considered electric foods?
Oh, there's a whole list. Don't get me started.
Name us a few.
Like the beans, certain beans. He was very big on, you know, like plants that are indigenous. Like, I think, say broccoli is not. Like that's a
broccoli
that's a
is
hybrid.
Not electric food?
Yeah, it's
a
hybrid.
How about kale?
Carrots? They didn't like carrots. I don't know. Don't quote me. You have to look it up.
Okay,
I don't really follow Dr. Sabi per se. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of like follow myself. Like I get certain nuggets of information from different ones, and then just adjust it to my own liking.
So you kind of feel how your body responds and feel to your intuition.
There's definitely there's a whole list though. It's like
Okay, so we have, let's recap the tips for conscious grocery shopping on a budget. So we had, I forgot, what was the first one?
I don't know.
I remember talking about shop in bulk.
Oh. Yeah,
shopping season.
Right,
stock
and
up.
Sales. If there's sale, items on sales, look for your sales, your coupons. Oh, another thing, this is the most important probably thing. Don't shop when you're hungry. Do not shop when you're hungry. That is like a no-no, because then you can see stuff and be like wanting to snack and stuff.
That's me.
Yeah. And see, people, it's interesting. I learned that because I watched people that come here when I was working upstairs. There was a couple. They would come from a long distance every month because they get 10% off monthly. So they do their heavy shopping on a particular day. When they come in the store, they go to the hot bar, they eat, and then they did this massive shopping.
That is smart. Are you good?
Yeah, so I said, wow, okay, that makes sense. And then...
that does make sense.
Yeah. And then stay away from the middle aisles in most grocery stores if you notice the produce is on one side, you know?
Yes.
So that's the side to shop at. Like that, those middle aisles, they get junkier and junkier. Then the other thing is look out for the ingredients. If you eliminate all the high fructose corn syrup products and the dyes and chemical products, that's going to eliminate a lot of waste in your budget.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing, only buy what you need, like as far as vegetables. A lot of people buy, they see it, and they, oh, that looks so beautiful, and then they leave it, and it goes bad.
Right.
So then I would say also get certain containers that help save your vegetables and save your fruit.
Do you do any classes here on kind of smart shopping or food saving, preserving, so like people know how to, what to do with all this produce that they get, you know, if they need, if it needs to be frozen, if it needs to be steamed and then frozen or peeled or...
Right.
Do you have any?
We actually just had a course taught by Chef Aki, A-H-K-I, and she's an electric Dr. Sabi follower. Matter of fact, we have her two books upstairs. I'll show them to you upstairs. But she just had a class, and she talked about exactly what we were just talking about. And her products that she chose from upstairs for her display were the very simple products with, when you read the ingredients, it might be three ingredients in it. And then she talked about the electric foods and Dr. Sabi and everything, like using Irish moss and different products for your health and wellness, making smoothies and having a blender, making sure you have a food processor. And So yes, to answer your question, we're also about to have a series of cooking classes, international cooking classes with Sona Lee, and she will be teaching international cooking classes maybe every like third Sunday. So you can go to our website, 7-Dollar.
I'll post the link to the website with schedule. But yeah, that's another thing I know that you, what you mentioned while you were giving me a tour. But so 7-Dollar offers a lot of different classes. And you said you have a free yoga class on Mondays. There are meditation classes every 2 weeks. There are cooking demos.
Right.
It looks like there's a lot happening.
There's a lot happening.
And I imagine that brings that also does that. The whole bringing the community together, building the community around this place. So it's not just a grocery store.
Right.
So it is different than, you know, your chain supermarkets because it's more than just
a place
to buy.
Yes, definitely. It's a lifestyle. And like I say, it's a liberty. That's just the best word to describe it, you know.
I love it. I'm going to use that now. I love that.
Yes.
Tell me, what do you like the most about your job?
I think what I like the most is getting to talk to people about health and wellness and that outreach aspect and the education, because I'm a firm believer that knowledge is power. So when you know better, you can do better. So I try to gently, you know, inform people about a healthier way of living for themselves, for their family, for their community, and for the world, the environment, because I know it's like a ripple effect, you know, and it starts out with just you, then your family, your community, and it goes out to the universe. So my job, I give thanks. I mean, I do the Be the Change program where we partner with nonprofits, so I get to look for deserving nonprofit organizations that we can partner with each month. And I'm also...
Oh, and that's what I saw. So you feature a nonprofit every month on one of the walls in your store, and then you provide their information so they get to see. That's great.
Right.
That's awesome.
And the change that's rounded up, we call it the Be the Change. That's from a quote from Gandhi.
Yes,
be the change you wish to see in the world.
I love him. And I also was thinking about something when you were speaking how about your experience when you came back from Jamaica and you were kind of overwhelmed by all the resources that are available here. I also thought another quote that I really like from him is, there is enough in this world for human need, but not for human greed.
Yes.
And that's what made it made me think of when you were speaking.
Yes, mm-hmm. definitely. So I also do the Artists Alliance program where we...
Artists.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, Artists Alliance, where we have vendors of arts and crafts. They have to make their own arts and crafts, and they can come into the store twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, and sell their arts and crafts.
Were those the earrings that you were showing me with, like...
No.
No, that's mm-hmm. separate.
Yeah, they come in and vend. Like right there in the produce department mm-hmm. where that child water was.
And when does that happen?
Tuesdays and Thursdays, 12 to 5.
Every week?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
You have all kinds of
things. Somebody will be here
going
tomorrow.
On.
Yeah. And they usually have some very, very nice, you know, like jewelry or clothing.
Handmade jewelry art. Is the best.
Because mm-hmm.
you can really feel, you can really see the difference. It's not your just your random stuff. It's like
right.
one of a kind.
Yes, absolutely.
So special.
So we have them come into the store. And then, like I said, I do outreach, meaning I go out into the community to health fairs or events, and we have a table. Mm-hmm. We talk about the co-op. We also talk about healthy eating. We usually have samples mm-hmm. or demos from chefs. Like, we're going to be at a live expo in April.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a big deal because we are providing all the chefs mm-hmm, for Earth Day. And I'm excited about that. So we do a lot of outreach.
Yeah.
And then we do a lot of inreach, meaning the classes and the education and trying to get people to come into the store
mm-hmm.
and, you know, not just shop, but educate, you know.
Yeah. I love that. I think that's the next, and I love the word that you use, the inreach, because you can also be used as enrich, like richness. But I think that's... I don't know if there is any more steps that we can take into leveraging the technology and leveraging the internet and leveraging the videos. Because basically, as you said, you can Google anything. I mean, there's so much information available at our fingerprints
mm-hmm.
that I don't think that information is the problem. I think that the barrier or the issue that we have to face is creating that story and creating that community where we can tell that story in order to provide an impact. Because the same information can be presented in so many different ways and have so profoundly different impacts on people. So I think what you do with bringing the community in reaching and hosting all these classes and kind of creating bonds within the community is, and so they can share a meal or share that story or share an experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's so empowering to them, but I'm also sure it's so much more effective in trying to deliver that piece of knowledge and share your message of love and kindness that you have. It's really beautiful.
Yes, yes.
That's really cool. Tell me, where do you see hope today? I know there are different opinions on that and kind of like how fast we're utilizing our resources, where our environment going. So there are people that are hopeful. There are people that are not very hopeful
mm-hmm.
about where we're going forward. What is your stand on that?
That's an interesting question because sometimes it looks so hopeless. I mean, it's like the masses of people are brainwashed by the media. You got your big pharmaceutical billionaire companies that are really creating dis-ease. If you look at food, I say food is the real weapon of mass destruction.
Mm-hmm.
It's used a lot for genocide of people. Maybe it's too many people on the planet and they want to get rid of some of the people. And I mean, it just looks deliberate, you know? So sometimes it just looks so hopeless, the environment and what's going on with this government and the people at the top of the pyramid, you know. And then you have the masses of people and the war and the poverty. And why, like Gandhi said, there's enough resources. If it was all shared, there's enough food to feed everyone. There's enough everything for everyone to have peace and happiness and well-fed and food, what are the three? Food, clothing, and shelter.
Mm-hmm.
There's enough resources on this planet for everyone to share, but instead you have greedy people, greedy corporations, greedy, just greediness going on. So it looks hopeless. Then you have your shootings and your this and your crime and the war, and it just makes you go, So to overcome all that, I just take a personal stand. Like I said, it's a ripple effect. So it starts with me, my family, my community, and then it ripples out. And that's my hope, that each one of us can be that ripple.
Right.
And each one of us can teach someone else and can help someone else until it just builds and builds and builds. And it is a movement. Matter of fact, I just read somewhere that veganism, that's another Rasta thing. They don't use isms and schisms. That's against, that's why people say Rastafarism. No, it's Rastafari. They don't, that ism. But they've said that the vegan movement is a growing fad now, and the largest food movement now is growing. So I'm like, yay, you know. And so I think, and then also with like what's going on is really making people become more aware and more conscious. Like you have to make a conscious effort not to be a racist, or a conscious effort not to be into sexism. So all those movements,
mm-hmm.
what about me? Wait, what is it? The me?
Me too.
Yeah, me too. Black Lives Matter, and all those kind of movements are making people aware and conscious and making things better, hopefully.
Yeah.
We can just hope for the best.
Well, at least it's getting acknowledged today, because you can't make a difference until you acknowledge that there is a problem.
Right.
And at least it's becoming a part of the conversation, and we're acknowledging the fact that it exists. I mean, I wish, everybody wishes, I'm sure you
right.
wish that it was moving faster, but...
Yeah.
I think we're ramping up, so that's good.
Right. And more people like yourself, young people who are, you know, conscious of whatever you're conscious of for the better and
mm-hmm.
for the betterment of the planet. That's what's up. That's what's happening. That's the hope for the future, that the young people will jump on board. And a lot of young people are, and then a lot of young people are not. So it's just a matter of doing
mm-hmm.
the best you can.
Yes.
Just doing the best you can.
And that's where the education and training information comes in. That's where you come in with
Absolutely.
In your role and
Absolutely.
Spreading the knowledge so people can, I mean, ultimately people are going to make their own decisions, but
yes.
it's much better when they have information to act upon rather than just their
right.
own
a little guidance. A little
yeah.
guidance goes a long way. I think now of being, you know, an elder in the community, people do listen and have respect. You know, they really do. I find, like you saw upstairs, a lot of young people, they come to me, Mama Ifany, you know. And they,
yes,
and,
I love that.
And they just, you know, kind of respect and listen when they're conscious. And that's
mm-hmm.
that's what it takes. We just got to, you know, just start really treating each other with love and respect and
mm-hmm.
kindness.
Yes, and that is my next question. So as I mentioned earlier, the name of my blog and the podcast is Follow Your Kind. And the thinking behind it is I believe that all of us are inherently kind.
Mm-hmm.
And but it we may each of us may define kindness differently. So I don't think I'm not there to preach or spread my own or put my own values on anybody else, but I think it's useful for each of us to think about what it is our values mean, what they stand for, and then to act on those values afterwards. And I just hope to inspire people to do just that. So I'm curious, what does kindness mean to you, and how do you live it in your everyday life?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think kindness is caring and being compassionate. And there's an adage, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I love that. That's the golden rule, as they say. And most people, I want you to be kind to me, so I'm going to be kind to you. And believing in karma, you know, what goes around comes around. So that kindness, I mean, it's almost like, okay, I need to be kind so that I can get treated kindly and so that my karma is a kindness and peace and bliss and happiness and joy and all the good things that come from this wonderful life that we've been given. What do they say? And be here now in the moment, because this is the present, and it is a present. It's actually a gift.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, this is a gift, a present, right here, right now. The past is gone. The future is only imagined. So kindness is about being compassionate and caring, being kind, peaceful, loving. Mm-hmm. Without being, I don't mean being syrupy and soft and, you know, you can have firmness and strength and kindness. Some people take it for weakness. They take kindness for weakness.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's really a strength. So that's my definition of kindness. I try to live it as the best I can. I try to be kind to people, help people do things, not for the value of getting it in return, but for the value of having someone's life be enhanced and enlightened.
Being of service.
And being of service.
I love that.
Being Sevananda.
That's beautiful. Yes, I love that.
Yes.
Sevananda, service, blissful service.
Yes, the joy,
the bliss of service.
Yes, definitely. So I give thanks. I feel really blessed, and I've met a lot of wonderful people on this journey, and I'm just thankful. That's the other thing. Kindness is being full of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Well, thank you so much for the conversation. I really enjoyed our interview, and I'm sure we'll see each other on many more occasions
around Atlanta. Yes.
And I'm looking forward to our continued friendship.
Okay. Thank you so much, Christina. I appreciate you coming. Appreciate love. Oh, that's another. Instead of appreciate, which sounds like hate, appreciate, we say appreciate love.
I love that. Such a perfect closing.
One love, one heart. Yes. Give thanks.
For more information, you can go to followyourkind.com or follow me on Instagram at kindchristina. Please also subscribe to the show and give me a good review. Thanks for stopping by.